Okay. You okay if we go 1 minute early? Seeing as how we're all right here talking anyway. Okay. If that's okay, I want to welcome everyone to our Fife County Steering Committee meeting. Appreciate you being here. Before we really get into the thick of things, we have at least one new member. Would you like to introduce yourself to everybody and tell us a little bit about you?
Hi, Celeste Myers, Kanab, Kane County. Had been on city planning for Kanab, which is the county seat. Then moved to city council maybe 5 years ago, and then started on the commission last week. So thanks for letting me be here. Super thrilled to have this assignment.
Great. Well, we appreciate
it. Ask for you.
She's already been very active from the day that she was elected. I know we've been in several discussions, and you followed Andy right around and been involved with us. So she's already hit the ground running, and that's good for us.
Andy's been really gracious about onboarding me.
Andy's great, and we loved Andy. Okay, having said that, is there anybody else that we need to acknowledge that's...
Henry's here, and he can sit up here if he'd like.
I never like to invite myself up unless I'm told.
Yes. You're actually you're a member of the steering committee, but you're a non-voting member of the steering committee.
He just wants to sit up cool here.
He's got his own name tag.
We're going to have to change the name. I'm sorry.
You can live with that. I respond to all.
Still respond with this.
Okay.
We just need to update it.
Dixie State?
Okay. You talk to Dixie State with
him. Yeah, I don't know. What is it, Henry?
Well, it's like I just said, I still respond to bull.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll fix that for next time.
Yeah. I know this Commissioner Almquist is trying to control his anger right now.
No, well, as a graduate of comatose state, I really don't care. Just here, I fall asleep in the light.
Well, we appreciate having you here and everybody else. And
it is now 1:30.
It's 1:30. We can get going. Let's stand. And Celeste, seeing how you're new, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes, please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Minutes, November 9th meeting. Questions, comments, concerns? We need a motion to...
Move to approve the minutes of November 9th.
Have a motion.
November 29th.
I'll second.
Okay, have a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes. Okay, Utah Legislature.
We also have minutes. You did it for the November 9th. We also have the December 29th.
He included them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
For clarification.
I purposefully let the pause in there because I know after the first thing I say, you tune out. So I put the pause in there for commercial
writing. He got you, Gar.
I was bored, but I knew you would correct me.
You nailed it.
Okay. All right. Board discussion. Utah Legislature preview. Who wants to lead on this?
And this is an open item amongst you as a board. Like, what bills do you know of that are coming, kind of state, county, city, school district?
We had a USAC meeting this morning where we talked about, you know, everything. There's a place you can go online and you can track the bills. As county commissioners, we have a spot on UAC's website and also the state website. So we really didn't discuss anything this morning other than that.
I got,
I got one bill maybe that maybe will affect a lot of our, well, it'll affect every county, honestly, is the recorder bill. There's a potential for a recorder to be appointed by the state, I think. And there's a real frustration from our recorder in our county saying it's not a good idea in her opinion. So I don't know how all the rest of your counties feel, but I would probably agree with her on that. We need to keep that as a local control, not
we'll,
a state.
We'll push back as well on that.
So to change it from being an elected position
to the state. Or hired by the state or whatever.
It'd be a state office.
And what I heard is there's a couple of counties up there that are do things each a little bit different, and it upsets the realtors and somebody else.
It all stems from a couple of cases where something was recorded that you come and record what they asked you to record, but somebody didn't like the fact that there was some information in there they didn't want anybody in the public to see. So without, you know, you record what you're asked to record, you know, so we aren't going to say, oh, probably shouldn't record this, you know, that your brother's from Guatemala, whatever, I don't know, but the point is that's where it stemmed from.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's running that one?
I'm not sure, Wade.
Tusher should remain a name of a math range, not a representative. Easy. I think that's who's pushing it.
Is that one of Jordan's?
Yep.
I'll try to find it.
Find out. Okay.
So that was also brought up with the economic development for UAC last week, was that item there.
So, yeah. So something you want to walk. We'll push back on it. I know that. We don't want that to happen in Garfield County.
Yeah.
There's three we're active in our city that we're working on, and they would probably affect some in Washington County. Iron County, are you guys a third-class county? And Paiute and Garfield, are you guys third?
We're fifth.
So this probably wouldn't affect all of the counties, but Washington County, if you're a second-class county, with the EMS currently, anyone that's third class and sixth class can participate in EMS to help fund the emergency services and fire district. And in Hurricane Valley, we have a challenge with our fire district, with enough funding, I guess. We have a national park and two state parks, and so that's one of the caveats we're saying, can we be excluded in a second class county to have that? So we are putting forth a bill. Joe Zielefun is writing it, and I know that there's a couple other legislators that are helping with that, and they've got a draft there, it's on the bill draft. But it's to amend that, that's one. Another is for second class counties, because Hurricane City, and some of you might have received some of this funding for the, it's called PO25, what is it called? But the radios for the police, is it called PO25? Anyway, whatever that funding is, we're not getting it because it's $275,000 that's mandatory that we have to have by this coming year. That's just a lot of money for smaller communities to have to pay.
There were grants and stuff out there for some of that, I do believe.
If you're not a second class county. And so these are some of the challenges.
Is that a one-time fee or is that an ongoing fee?
It's a one-time fee. Then there's another one that we're working on, and that's the corridor fund. And that's just something that would probably affect Staten Hall State Park, our city road, probably the only road in southern Utah or in Utah period that goes to a state park, and it's in our city. The rest of them have state highway, and we need to widen that road. We get a million visitors and there's not enough room, and it's dependent on the city. So we need it wider, and we also need turning lanes both directions. And so that's those are three things that we've been doing.
If you build it, they will come.
Right? And they are.
The 21 number for San Jose State Park was 2.5 million visitors.
So
that's what kept the water level up. That was a lot of pressure on their roads.
Just that one.
The first bill that you talked about, the EMS funding, what?
So there is a current bill, and I probably could get bill number for you this one, so I can make that on my phone. But it's being amended so that we can do the work. So because we're a second class county and we have a national park and two state parks, if we could be included in that. That's the caveat.
But what do they fund? Because
it would be funding, helping fund the fire and EMS.
For call outs to tourist related issues.
So it's a TRT related bill?
I mean, it's really, I mean, I don't think it's in the TRT bill. I think it's more under emergency services.
Right.
But it's for, okay. It helps because we have so many visitors in our,
let's ask
we have literally two state parks and a national park in our district.
So it's like a centrally assessed tax and then?
It's a sales tax, about a half a cent on each, mm-hmm. you know, for the sales and takeaway of property, because it's been only, in fact, we have to change the governing documents because currently it says only current residents, so it have to say current residents only.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd very much like to see TRT to include fire protection, but also that's the short-term low-hanging fruit fix, and then the larger fix is fixing this mess that is TRT, where it's 47% of TRT funding has to go back into promotions and establishment, which just gets us into this cycle of we have to do tourism because that's the only thing we're allowed to do in our little county anymore, and then all the money that we get from tourism, or 47% of the money has to go back into getting more tourism, and we can't get under, you know, that boot of tourism is on our neck and we can't get out from under it. So if we could at the least adjust the ratios to be slanted less towards marketing, I would love to see 25-75 split, but maybe 60-40 is more realistic.
We struggle even with just with the amount of visitors that we have to Garfield and that area, that even just the garbage collection that we have to deal with all of the visitors coming in. They buy their, a lot of times they buy their goods somewhere else, they come in, they play around, mm-hmm. and then as they leave all their garbage with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we love having them there, okay, because that's what we have now.
Yeah.
But we don't get the benefit of them buying their groceries and everything there. They may get a tank of gas going out, but we do get all the garbage and stuff. Plus, we get all that we have to do, the search and rescue, the law enforcement.
That's a big issue.
The, and
when they get in a fender bender, every single thing.
It's tough, so there needs to be some equity there. We also finding out that we got all these people coming camping, parking out. I mean, there's a large amount of stuff that goes on that we're in charge of and we have to take care of. So there needs to be some type of compensation back to the counties, back to rural Utah, so, and gateway communities. You talk about your, two state parks and...
national parks. So Zion, San Salvador, and Clovis.
I'm gonna up you. We have three national parks, all are park.
Yes.
We have three state parks.
Yes.
In our area, and we have the Grand Staircase, and we have the Glen Canyon Recreational
yeah.
Area.
You get, 3% of your land, I think, is left to you?
3%.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, it's a challenge.
We have more than that in our county, but just in the fire district.
Right.
That we need. But, so that's, it, you're right, and it's huge.
Yep.
It's a big
yep.
area.
We don't have
the... But you're the gateway, you and St. George and that area, the gateway to all of that. Yep. It's tough. So, anyway, what else? County, city, school district,
schools.
Anything? We could go on about public lands forever, right, guys? Okay.
I think it's covered.
Okay, let's move on. Five county comprehensive economic development strategy. Nate, this is you.
Hi. So to many of you, this is going to be a little bit of a review, hopefully some new to you. But we're just going to give you a little update about our SEDS, Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, is usually shortened to SEDS. If you hear that, that's what that is. It's a regional plan. We've actually been working on this plan for a little while, trying to get input from the economic development directors from all of your counties. Whoever will give us comments, that's great. We've also been working very closely with the state. And, well, some of us don't have economic development directors, but there's folks that are doing the work. So we are reaching out to them, and they're on our advisory committee. So we've been working very closely with the state. They've been working on a statewide economic development strategy. They're wanting to pull information a little more locally, so we've been pulling our advisory committees and inviting people from the steering committee to come to those. We're going to have the third and last meeting next week on the 19th. It's going to be at Dixie Tech campus up on the bluff in St. George, and hoping to get the last bit of the feedback for the state plan and the Des Moines Associates, the people who have been working on that for the state. We'll pull it all together and we'll have a statewide plan. Some of the data they pulled, they've given to us for local use as well. So I want to talk a little bit mostly to you. Five County Association of Governments is an EDA, Economic Development District, also known as an EDD. And one of the main goals of the EDDs are to coordinate locally with all of the commissioners and the mayors and the economic development staff. And really anybody who's involved with economic development in the region, and put together the SEDs. That's the main goal. And doing that, putting together the SEDs, allows our region to use EDA grants. So without that document, being an EDD, we can't access those EDA grants. We just had a phone call with the Denver EDA staff for Utah to talk a little bit about those grants. So hopefully your folks know and can reach out to them.
So what are we missing on that?
If you have a project idea and you didn't meet with the EDA earlier this week, get with me. I'll get you their contact information. And if you have a project idea, let's get you in contact so you can even know if your project's eligible. The Denver staff is really great right now. They don't want you to go through a whole application process just to find out your project's ineligible. So they'll be very upfront with you about that. Mm-hmm. So the SEDS is going along really well. We're starting to pull data. We didn't want to pull data last year because when you pull data from the year before, it really gets plugged up. You're not having the newest stuff. And it's due in September. We're probably going to go public comment in August and have it wrapped up before the end of the year. And we'll bring it to this body again. You all are the executive committee for the EDD, so it has to come to you for your review. It doesn't have to be approved or anything like that. It just, for your executive committee, we want you to be aware of what's in it and just give us the okay.
Can you give us the benefits of the economic development?
Yeah, so.
Tell us what you're, I just want to know, what it is you're doing the data for? What are you hoping to get out of it?
Yeah. And also refer them to the website that we have.
Yeah, we do have an economic development website. It has some information. It hosts, it mainly right now hosts the plans that we do. But the SEDS is a document that creates space for the region to identify its strengths, weaknesses, and brings together a diverse set of partners to generate good jobs. That's the whole goal, is to create jobs. We're trying to identify, like I said, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and hopefully it'll develop into projects that we can apply to EDA for.
One of those projects, Mayor, was because of the role of Five County being the district. That allows cities, counties, universities to apply and make an application with the EDA. And one of those applications was Innovation Plaza, Atwood Innovation Plaza, probably the most recent one. And because of that, it was able to really lift off and get going.
In addition to that Innovation Plaza grant for equipment, there was an additional University Center grant that the University, that Utah Tech, then Dixie State partnered with SUU on. And that University Center grant is still ongoing and provides funding for economic development activity across the five-county region.
So that's a example right now.
Thank you. Another example, the Shitwitz is doing an energy project. There's an airport connecting road that was done way before my time here in Cedar City. Gary knows a little bit about that one.
Is it Metalcraft that is doing the jets, or is Cyberjet, thank you. The connection that went across from their manufacturing to the airport, there had to be a bridge and some other things and a gate to roll the aircraft across there so they could get to the airport runway. That project was an EDA funded project, and it was a big deal for this area.
Wasn't there an EDA funding in the industrial area of Hurricane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Walmart Distribution Center, that was one that John Williams, our former executive director, worked with City of Hurricane to do that business park that's now, I think it was called Gateway at the time. I don't know what it's called now, but that's what it was originally called, was the Gateway Development. And that included Walmart coming into that with the distribution center and all the other stuff. And that was to put infrastructure in for that, to get the water lines extended and all that kind of stuff, the infrastructure to that area. And that area is massive. Now there's a new development going in there now to the north end. And eventually I think there's going to be an interchange at the north end of there. So
one of our goals is to start getting more EDA investment into our region. So we're really trying to be a little more proactive. And that's why we held the meeting last week with the EDA staff, so people can understand the grants. It's not typical, like with the CIB and CDBG, you come to us to apply for those grants. With EDA, you go directly to EDA. But we can really help facilitate those meetings.
But if you're not a district, you can't go to EDA.
Yes.
So that's why it's important that we're a district here.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thanks. Okay.
Nate, you're still up.
What's that?
The biomass.
Oh, am I doing the biomass too?
I show Brian Therius.
Well, I had both of them listed there.
I got Nate. Okay. I got Romney's.
You're delegating.
Yes.
This one, I don't know a ton about. There are four grants available through biomass products. Let me pull up my. Do you have that? I can't read that slide. Let me pull
it
up.
I'll get it. I've got a larger version of it.
Computer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see the screen.
I'm good.
Is that the one with the four grants?
There is colors up there. I can see that. I've got the colors down.
So last night, Commissioner, the Forest Service held a meeting in Richfield on the biomass, and basically using wood products. Commissioner Wood was there, as well as Commissioner Pearson. She was there as well. And then Nate and I, we were there.
We zoomed in.
And we just wanted to learn more of what's happening in that realm of forest products.
We want to be able to help you all keep tabs on what's going on. I know this is an important industry for our region. These are some of the grants that are available through that. There's been only a few, so those of you who were there know that from last night. There's only been a few investments in Utah, but we'd like to see some in our region. I'm happy to, since I don't know a ton about this, to get the slides or even get the individual who presented this information to talk to you a little bit more about it.
Part of the problem with anything to do with forest products is until you get a 20-year guarantee of material, nobody's going to want to invest.
Right.
I mean, they say, well, we put out all this green timber now for people to bid on, and they don't bid on it. That's because we don't have mills anymore that will cut green timber.
One industry is looking at that's actually happening, I want to learn more about it, is that they're creating fuel for jet fuel out of this product.
Really?
Yeah, and so that was my first time to hear or see that, and it's actually happening. And so the individual who was speaking about that is from Montana, and so Nate and I, we want to be able to follow up and find out.
I would love to be involved.
Because 20 years, if that's jet fuel that can be used, I think you could get 20.
There's also going to be a grant opportunity for, I don't know if it's going to be the state or the region or what, but they're going to be doing a revolving loan fund for smaller companies to be able to get smaller equipment.
Well, let me give you some ideas. Right now, we take a lot of the forest right now, and we go in and burn it, trying to control things by burning it. Why? We have companies around, the Daltons from Paiute County, that's willing to go take all that, and they chop it up, shred it up into turkeys. Shavings to send to the turkeys. Why don't, instead of paying the Forest Service to go in and burn that, because that's an expense to the Forest Service, why don't we even just give somebody that material if they'll go in and clean that out? Now, just giving it to them, yeah, they'll make money off that, but they'll also create jobs in your community with that stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me that we're putting it on the expense side of our financial statement when, you know, we could be creating jobs and opportunities within our communities, and it affects each and every one of us.
So right here, the person who's going to be running this program, his name is Bergen Eskilson. Would you like me to set up a meeting with you and him and Brian and I?
Sure.
It'd be nice if the steering committee, if we could have him come.
There's also a guy, Brian, that we dealt with. He's from, his name slips me right now, but retired down in St. George. You got me set up with him before. That talked a lot about the biomass.
Is it Bevan Kilback? Wasn't Bevan much? Oh, I know who you're talking. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll remember his name.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think the goal with this program is that they're trying to get companies to use some of this biomass that the sawmill could just come and get. So we need to somehow connect those dots.
Well, we have so much of it in our forest right now, it's overgrown, that it's hurting our watershed, it's hurting everything. And our fire shed, you know, people think about, it just burns up the forest, but mm-hmm. look what the fire of Brian Head did to Panguitch, just Panguitch alone.
What we're willing to put together meetings or help get those dots.
This group needs to be a force in that. These, all of us county commissioners and everybody needs to be a force in that. We need to turn this around. So I'm good with that.
That's all I have. I'm not an expert on this, so I can just tell you.
You will be when we're done. Yeah. Brian, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
That's about it. Just the loan fund that you were just talking about. Will that be for private, or will that be for the municipalities? Who is that loan fund for?
So I think, I'm not sure. It's either going to be like the state or the AOGs that are going to be running the revolving loan fund, but it's going to be for, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it's going to be more for industry, like small businesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
And will it be through the county, or
we're not sure yet.
Here, I took a screenshot of it, and as we get the slide deck, we'll forward it on to you.
Okay,
but
thank you.
It's called the Rural Opportunity Program, Rural Communities Opportunity Loan, and it's $21 million revolving loan fund. The rural community demonstrates it has exhausted all other means of securing funding from the state of Utah. The loan, not more than 0.5% above bond market interest rates, is available to counties and communities, including communities of less than 10,000 in second class counties. And it's not currently open right now, but more information will be coming as it opens up. So we're just kind of letting you know.
Okay. So we'll keep an eye on it for you.
Okay. What kind of a turnout did you have last night, Commissioner?
Was that a good turnout? I mean, it was 75.
Right. It's a lot more than they had the first meeting a couple years ago.
Well, he said 75.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment.
There were a lot more governmental people than industry people.
Yeah.
Mm. But Well, maybe they can decimate that information to disseminate, whatever. Get the word out.
I wanted to bring up also, with the defederalization of our revolving loan fund that we've had, which was the EDA funded one back in 1987, it's been defederalized. I rebadged it last year to the, it's the Southwest Utah Microloan Program established by the County Association of Governments. And that's loans up to $50,000 for either startup businesses or expanding small businesses. And it's not bound by any of those old federal rules or anything like that. And I'm the one that approves the loans now. We don't have to have a loan board. That was a requirement of the federal government on there. And I've done, I think in the last year, 6 loans. Most of them were $50,000. One was much smaller than that. It was $15,000 for a food trailer that was in St. George that they shipped it over from China. But the system that if they have a fire inside didn't meet the fire code here, so they had a company over at Hurricane, matter of fact, retrofit it, and they came in for a loan for $10,000. And I loaned them. I said, "What are you going to buy food with?" And they said, "Well, they hadn't even thought about that yet." So I gave them some working capital to buy food. They then went to all the different events. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a Chinese food trailer, bright yellow. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know what if you look at that way, they had to move up north for work. They sold the business down here. I got repaid, but it's still here. So, but anyway, if you know of anybody that has a small business or wants to get started, don't send them to me first. Send them up to Dixie Tech, to the Small Business Development Center. And Jeff Mather up there.
He's awesome.
Send them to Jeff. He's my filter, because this is only a part of my work at Fike County, not the whole thing. I could spend all day just dealing with RLF or with microloans. He filters the ones that have a good business plan that makes sense, that aren't docs. That's if you've ever taken a financial course, you find out is the business a dog. If it's a dog, you don't touch it, because it's like you don't know if it's going to bite your hand off. But he'll filter the docs out, and the good ones he sends me, and I review them. And we both concur that yes, this one makes sense, and then we fund it.
But the cap is $50,000.
Yes, maximum $50,000. So I'd rather, instead of doing one $200,000 loan like we used to do, I'd rather do 4 $50,000 loans.
Yeah.
So. Good idea. Okay.
But we'll bring back more information as we see that.
Let's be proactive in this. Let's push this this forest products biomass. I think there's jobs for Southern Utah in that, and also to improve the environment, our watershed, our fire shed, everything. Okay? So you have an assignment, let's push it.
Okay.
Very good. All right, we're moving along. Congressional staff updates. Young lady, you want to go first?
Well, the House is in session. We are working after a interesting vote for speaker. We don't know. Well, maybe they do. They were supposed to, or hoping to know by the end of business today where, what committees everyone would be on. We're not expecting changes with Congressman Stewart, but until everything's said and done, we'll just wait and see. We did pass a bill to get rid of the 87,000 IRS agents, but now it's up to the Senate. It probably won't pass, but it was at least a statement that that's not where we want to go at the House. Other than that, it's kind of, we're reintroducing bills that we were working on last year, one of which is a ambulance EMS bill that's going to help some of these smaller communities for equipment. So if you're if you have a small population and a large all of us, then
sound familiar.
Yeah, it will pay, you'll get more points to be able to buy, and it's basically just for equipment, but mostly ambulance, but
I'm
other
sure
things
that, Bill.
That we can vote on.
Fire trucks?
Right now it is not fire trucks, but But we're hoping, I mean, it might get to that or see where we go with it.
Can you tell me the bill number?
It has not been introduced yet in the session. So, but I will keep you guys informed. And other than that, we are working and just kind of early in the new session and see where we're going, but reach out if you guys have any questions or know of anything. And also, as you're watching stuff on the state level, if there are things that you need, you know, something similar or parallel for the feds, let us know, because we can introduce stuff that way as well. We are watching a lot of those water bills, and Kyle brought it up at Sixth County this morning, but we are watching the WOTUS, the Waters of the U.S. They passed the, that was passed like the very last minute on the 30th, and there is a pending suit, so we were really hoping that they wouldn't pass that until they had the decision from the Supreme Court, but it has been, President Biden signed it, so we'll kind of watch that and see what happens. Otherwise,
should we tell you now or later about the things that are bugging us?
It's up to
Chair.
Go ahead.
Briefly. One thing that's really just horrible, in my opinion, with the feds and the current administration's overreach and how it's impacting our small businesses, we, meaning small businesses across America, are being harassed about census and surveys and things like that. Like, they'll send just communication after communication trying to get us all to report every single thing about our businesses, I think in an attempt to mess with, like, to verify that people aren't, it's like an audit, basically. And then the other thing that's happening is there's this new requirement to make sure that your bank is lined up with your EIN, and they're just for the security and safety of everyone, and also so we can know every single thing about you. And any pushback on that would be so appreciated.
Okay. Yeah, if you can, I can talk to you after, but I don't know where exactly those communications are coming from so that we can look at it on the other side. Is it coming from, you know, IRS? Is it, who's sending these requests?
It's a Census Bureau, but for businesses. They used to just send them out every now and again and ask how many employees you have or whatever. But now they're being, ever since, I think, last year, basically since Biden, incredibly persistent and just spending a ton of money trying to get this information from people. And
thank you.
Who wants to go next?
You guys care if I come sit with you for a minute?
Come.
Okay. So my name's Kyle, for everyone online, at least, who doesn't know me, and I've worked with Senator Mitt Romney's office. We are out of session until January 23rd, so you guys can hang on to your wallets.
I stole that joke from you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You should have went first.
At least he acknowledged.
He's paying me a royalty.
It's true, yeah. So we were part of a bipartisan group of eight senators to send a letter to Secretary Howland, urging her to withdraw some guidance impeding energy projects in the Intermountain West. So that's something that we're currently knee-deep in. Likewise, we're watching the WOTUS rule that was issued on the 30th. We were also hoping that we'd see a decision in the Sackett case before that came about, which didn't happen. And so there's a lot in flux there. It's a terrifying rule for farmers and ranchers. I'm personally concerned about it. So it's something that we're going to undertake pushing back on. At the end of the last session, we got some pretty cool stuff across the finish line. PILT is funded in its entirety. $1 billion in funding for wildfire fuels reduction watershed projects, landscape size projects. So we're talking 100,000 to 200,000 acre projects that are really going to move the needle in terms of forest and watershed ecology in Southern Utah. So super happy about that also. One thing, so in all of these international climate agreements. China's treated as a developing nation, so they are not held to the same standards that the United States is. We got a bill across the finish line that would help change China's designation as a developing nation because they're the biggest polluter on the planet, and our feet are being held to the fire, whereas theirs are not. Along those lines, a bill to decrease dependence on critical minerals from China and Russia and develop that industry domestically. And lastly, as it pertains to rural hospitals in southern Utah, two Medicare programs were expanded that we hope will also move the needle for healthcare in this area. So, yeah, it's great to be here. It's a privilege. I enjoy spending time with you guys. Let me know if I can help.
Question?
Yes.
So I recently saw a news article where the military that refused vaccines were booted.
Yes.
And there was a vote to reinstate them.
That's correct.
And voted against that. Could you explain your senator's vote?
I will have to ask about it. I'll get back to you personally
by this point.
And I'd like to know about that as well.
You bet.
I have another question. You talked about the energy, and I wondered, do you know what the six different energy bills that they're putting forth, and can you give us more information? I just want to see them loosen up. Right now, it's because of supply and demand, we're having some real issues. And in Utah, like our municipality is part of the IPA in Delta.
Sure.
And the challenge, we've just recalled all of our portions so that we can use it. And even though it's transitioning between coal and natural gas, which is going to give us way less energy, but it's still something we're worried because we're part of this nuclear power plant that's going to be built in Idaho, but we don't have enough generation.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and it's important to the senator that, and we spent a lot of time on energy specifically in August. So there isn't a piece of legislation in particular that I was referring to, rather some pushback from a bipartisan group of senators saying this is not sustainable. Energy supply is
open enough so that they
absolutely.
Well, in a long to piggyback on that, you know, I'm up at 4 o'clock this morning reading that they want to ban cooktops and kitchens, and it's so the attack on fossil fuels continues, and you know they wanted to go electricity, but they're tearing down coal plants.
Yeah, I feel like we really need to push back against the EV tide. It's just not sustainable to...
In no way, shape, or form is it sustainable, yeah. It just does not as well. It's pie in the sky, and we're aware of that. The senator's aware of that, and it's something that we're pushing back. Yes, sir.
Could you look into... it's not necessarily a congressional appropriation. I think it was more from the executive side. It's tied to the bill, however, the 1.6 trillion or whatever it was. $25 million to study the Great Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. They have already studied the water clear out of it. There, that $25 million could build something that would really. I don't want a bunch of think tanks employed to waste that money by saying stuff we already know. Mm-hmm. You know, they walk out to the shore and say, "Oh, it went down an inch today." You know, I mean, shut up. We want something else. You know,
so. One, and this is more relevant to north of the Great Salt Lake, but there are some proposals for fallowing ag land and paying those producers a per acre fee for sending that or for keeping that water in stream, which I obviously think is a terrible idea for a couple reasons. One, because I'm a farmer and I love agriculture. Two, because we all need to eat. Three, because we don't know if that's going to make a difference. We've reduced the use of water in the ag community to such a degree that it hasn't helped, obviously, because the Great Salt Lake's still having level and salinity problems. But hopefully that study funds real solutions, because the pie-in-the-sky ones, like fallowing ag ground in Box Elder County, there's no data to support that it will make any difference whatsoever. It'll destroy communities and so on and so forth.
Well, let me give you an example. You're talking about water in the state of Utah. I own a business that sits on about 8 acres in West Jordan, Utah, in an industrial park. They make me, out of that eight acres, they make me plant so much in lawn and so many trees, and I am in an industrial park. they'd made me tear out 4 parking spots and plant trees in those parking spots in an industrial park. We are wasting water trying to green up an industrial park. It's crazy what we're doing, and yet they tell you to conserve water, but your communities have in their planning and zoning that it has to have so much lawn, so many trees. It's ridiculous.
I agree. I hope that study finds some real data-driven solutions, because the solutions that we're coming up with now are harmful, and we have no idea if they'll work.
But we do know that certain nozzles on overhead spraying do effectively work.
Absolutely.
And so buy $25 million of those for the farmers who are being told that they have to do. Put that money into those nozzles that we know grow the same amount of alfalfa or whatever they're growing, and use about 25 to 30% less water.
Here's a suggestion. Secondary systems. Most communities do not have them. They're using culinary water on their second, they're just outside water. So that would be something that would really benefit the communities.
Absolutely.
I'm pushing right now the reservoir restoration plan in the state of Utah for us to go in and improve our reservoirs, fix them up, clean them out, take care of it where we can store more water, help our communities. Water's the key to the West. We need to all get on board with that and take care of that and start using water and looking to the future. If not, our reservoirs are going to be full of silt, our forests are going to be overgrown, and we're going to be out of business in Utah, especially the farmers and ranchers, but even little communities like Escalante. We fight for every ounce of water we can get. And every time you turn around, there's a state agency that says, oh, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do this. Baloney. We've got to look to the future and be a little bit forward-thinking on what we're doing, and we need to take care of that, especially our water.
Yeah, especially some of the smaller aquifers. And then in Lake Powell, my understanding is we have the opposite problem where there's things that have floated down to the bottom, minerals and things like that, that they don't want to disturb, because if they disturb it, then it becomes a cleanup site, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's this, for that particular reservoir, there's a fight to maybe not dredge up all that stuff and then have it become a cleanup site. And is anyone else on board with that as far as? Okay, I'm not just making that up.
Good. Did you think he was making it up? I got.
Well, I wasn't looking at that. I haven't heard that they were worried about. I haven't heard that they were even thinking of dredging up the lake house. So I guess it's a real deal.
So it's kind of a push-pull between the enviros and the people who want to actually keep using Lake Powell, because they want. There's a certain segment that wants to drain it, dredge it, and then turn it into a cleanup site, so it's basically decommissioned, and that would kill us. So
you cannot, you just
put it down, use whatever the senator, and that goes for you too. As a sign to this, we don't want a stack of papers this high that costs us $25 million. That does nothing.
It'll probably go through Utah State University and their natural resources.
Okay, so it'll be this
time. Yeah, right.
Okay, so. We want actual boots on the ground sort of stuff, not just words.
We want bricks and mortar.
Yes.
As Commissioner Brinkerhoff would say, I want a deliverable.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Used to be an OBGYN, you know.
Is that a joke?
Dad joke number 3 for today.
It cooked him.
I'm sorry. I'd be like, no.
It's very well entertained.
Yeah, it would be entertained.
It took me a minute to get it. I hate to admit that, but it did. But I got it. Okay. Next up.
All right. Well, if I understand that last discussion correctly, it sounds like we might have some water issues in Utah.
Yeah, first.
Noted.
Dad joke number 4.
Yeah, I've got it bundled up. Yes, Kyle mentioned new Congress. Senate has not started its work yet. It'll be back in session on the 23rd. So that means we haven't officially received committee assignments, but Senator Lee anticipates that he will remain on the same committees, sort of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, where he will continue to be the ranking member of the Public Lands Subcommittee. He will be on the Judiciary Committee.
and the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee.
Sorry to interrupt you, but is he off of antitrust and some of those others?
No, he's still ranking member of antitrust.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, his favorite committee. He likes doing the lawyer stuff. So yeah, he'll continue with many of the things he's been pushing, continue to push his NEPA reforms, the Houses Act, and the online protections for minors, things like that. But also, he's always looking for new ideas. If you've got any ideas, if you've got, you're seeing problems that you think could be fixed with legislation, please get in touch, because he's always looking for new ideas and things to cause trouble with up on the Hill. With the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, so there's Senator, Democratic Senator from Nevada, who has a big Nevada public lands bill, and a Republican Senator from Wyoming, who has a big Wyoming public lands bill that they each want to get passed. So this creates an opportunity for a larger public lands package. And they're starting to talk about doing more in this Congress. Now, typically, these don't happen until the end of the Congress. So it may not happen for a couple of years when this Congress is about to wind down. But I just wanted to put it on you all's radar that there may be an opportunity for a public lands package centered around these two bigger Nevada and Wyoming pieces, but we would love to make sure that Utah gets some priorities in a bill like that as well. So no rush or anything, but just keep that in the back of your mind. If there are public lands related issues, land transfers, land disposals that you think might be a good idea, be making a note, get in touch with me. And again, there's no guarantees this will happen. If it does, it probably won't happen for a little while, but just know now that may be an opportunity that comes up this Congress.
The last one was 2009.
No, we did one in 2018, was the Dingell Act.
Oh, the Dingell, yes.
So the Board's rule has already been mentioned. The administration is also gearing up to redo the sage-grouse regulations.
Yeah.
They said they were going to address that last year. They didn't get to it, so they are aiming for summer of this year to release their draft environmental impact statement. It will most likely look a lot like the 2015 sage-grouse rules that the Obama administration promulgated, and that were not good for rural Utah. It may actually contain even stricter regulations if we're reading the tea leaves correctly, and this administration's kind of been dropping some hints. So we will be watching that one closely, and when that draft EIS hits. So that draft EIS will include, they'll have to redo a lot of the local BLM resource management plans here in Utah. So in one sense, that kind of gives us an advantage, because the local BLM offices will have to go through public notice and comment, so we'll all have opportunities to weigh in, and the process could be a long one. But just also be on the lookout for that. If you couple that with WOTUS and all the other stuff the administration's doing, rural Utah could be in a world of hurt. On that same vein, the ozone transport rule that the EPA is promulgating, I know Washington Kamay-Dixie Power is extremely concerned about that bill. They're blaming Utah for a lot of the pollution that's showing up in Denver, and so they're trying to find a justification to shut down even more of our coal-fired power plants.
How did they decide where the pollution comes from?
They say it's science.
Is it California pollution passing through Utah?
Exactly.
You bring up a good point. We ought to monitor the air along the Utah-Nevada border and see how much of that's coming from Nevada and California before we do anything with Colorado.
And it doesn't account for any discharges from wildfires, for example. It's just a stupid idea.
I know there's already talk in the legislature of providing some funding to the AG's office to fight this legally if it doesn't. So basically right now the EPA has until March 23rd of this year to either decide whether they're going to reject Utah's plan, which they previously already said wasn't strong enough. And so if they confirm that ruling, then they will impose a much stricter federal implementation plan.
So wait until March 23rd.
Greg Miles has been working on this in the Uinta Basin.
Yep, yeah, they will be very heavily hit.
I just wonder if there could be some collaboration there. And
yeah, well, we need to get collaboration not just within Utah, but also other states like Wyoming that are going to suffer from this as well. And I know that's being worked on. Senator Lee's having conversations with Senator Barrasso back in D.C. to try to form an alliance to stand up to this. Last thing I'll mention, you may or may not be aware of Lieutenant Ridge Alconis. So he is a lieutenant in the Navy. And he was serving in Japan, and over the fall, he was with his family. They were driving up a mountain, and he blacked out from, I can't remember what it's called. It's an acute illness if you get too high up, and he blacked out. His family car hit another family, a Japanese family, and killed members of that family. He was prosecuted in Japanese court, and they sentenced him to 3 years in a Japanese prison. Senator Lee has been working very closely with the Japanese government and with the Biden administration, and also Rahm Emanuel, former governor of Illinois, who is now the ambassador to Japan, trying to arrange some way to get Lieutenant Alconis home before his three-year sentence. Engaging in talks about prisoner swaps, things like that, but
maybe Japan needs a basketball player.
What's that?
This is maybe Japan needs a basketball player.
Oh, there's an idea. Right? Pass that along, yeah. The Department of Defense, up to this point, Lieutenant Alconis had been relying on leave time because he's no longer considered an active duty because he's in prison. And that expired on December 28th. And so he and his family were going to be left without pay and benefits. Senator Lee was able to, as part of the government funding measure that passed, Senator Lee got an amendment passed that will continue the pay and the benefits to Lieutenant Alconis and his family. So Senator Lee did not vote for that bill, but silver lining for him is he was able to secure some funding for this lieutenant that's currently in prison over in Japan. That's all I've got. Does anyone have any other questions?
I talked to Heath last night at our Forest Service meeting in Ridgeville. In our industry, in the millwork industry, my son deals with it now, but I brought up Heath and maybe for these representatives here that to take back. You guys have all heard of LEED certified buildings, right? These environmentally friendly buildings, it's a scam. And they cost the taxpayers about 10% more money. So a $100 million hospital is LEED certified, is probably going to cost $10 million more. In my industry, or in the cabinet industry, there's something called FSC, Forest Stewardship Council, and it's a chain of custody. So when the timber guy cuts down the tree, he creates a paper, and they have a chain of custody paper trail all the way to where we mill the product and install it, and it costs us about twice as much money for the material. And so the pile of sawdust in the mill here and here that they make particle board out of, there's no difference between FSC and Rainier. It's just a paper drill, and it costs double. It's a scam, and we need to get away from. We need to. And Heath was telling me a lot of this stuff gets crammed through in these, 50,000 page bills that nobody reads. But we've got to start pushing back against the environmentalists, because they're fleecing the taxpayer, and the environmentalists are getting rich off this crap. And I don't know what can be done about it. I've talked to Carl Albrecht, our representative Rex, and some of these guys, but we've got to pass some bills to quit requiring LEED certified buildings. There might be a few things with like windows and UV and stuff like that. There might be some good aspects, but in our industry, it's a scam. And we've got to figure out a way to get away from that stuff.
Is there a mandate for that, FCS?
FSC. Well, it's just certain architects, and a lot of those architects don't even, it sounds cool, but they don't even know what it means, a lot of them. I mean, he's doing a fire station in Las Vegas right now that's FSC certified, and it just costs the taxpayers a lot more money. It's useless. It's crazy.
And you sent me a couple of links last night, and I sort of dig into those. And sure enough, that government funding bill that passed at the end of the year last year was chock full of subsidies for expanding LEED and these other green building codes and things like that. So instead of moving away from there, where federal government's going
municipal law, which is towards mandating it and subsidizing it. So.
When you mentioned judicial reform, what exactly, do you know anything of the ideas that he's working on right now? Because it's not working in Utah so far. They're just like booking them and releasing them.
Yeah, that would be a state issue. So Senator Lee's always been focused on criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
He's also been very involved in he's on the antitrust subcommittee, so he's been heavily involved in looking into the meatpacking issue, all of the consolidation in that industry. He's involved in all sorts of stuff on the issue. I can get you more specifics on kind of what his priorities are going to be within this next Congress, but.
I know the state is responsible. Lowry's trying to help write the bill for a Utah state. I just wondered what you were talking about with justice reform for the country.
Yeah, I mean, so he was the key Republican supporter of the First Step Act, which passed under President Trump. And that gave judges a little bit more leeway, and especially when they're looking at like non-violent drug crimes, specifically for first offenses.
Okay.
I mean, we were putting people away for 20, 40 years, and it was breaking up homes and very destructive. So that was one of Senator Lee's priorities that he got passed. That's kind of the kind of things he's focused on.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move along to state agency updates. Do we have anybody?
David Booz sent me a text saying he was not able to make it.
Okay. Universities and technical colleges.
Can I say something before that? I sent out an email to Brennan Wood and also to Jordan Rushton, and what I basically said is that our most recent steering committee, which is our governing board, it was a consensus of board members that at that meeting to regularly invite the president of each of the two technical colleges to have an opportunity to update the steering committee on a regular basis of what's happening, exciting new things to report, et cetera, et cetera. And I said our bylaws, which have been in place for 50 years, this year is our 50th anniversary, forms the makeup of our 17-member steering committee, and it basically says it's a mayor's representative from each county, a county commissioner, and a school board representative, plus the two presidents of the universities. At the time the bylaws were written, they were both colleges, but or their representative that they send. And so I said it's not been discussed by our board on whether to add the presidents of the two technical colleges to our governing board as ex officio non-voting members. That would require amending the bylaws. But they have so far requested that you as a steering committee, that we as staff invite each of them to, or their designated representative, to attend either in person or via Zoom to give an update from time to time as needed regarding what's happening at your respective colleges. And I sent the whole packet out to them, but I haven't got a response back from either of those, but they were invited to participate in this, and I'll follow up with them again for next month. But I think it's a great idea to have them, because they're a big part of our region now, just like the universities are. So they were invited according to what you asked us to do last time. So.
Okay.
Am I up?
You're up.
All right. Well, seeing as it's the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023, I thought I would just share a few updates relevant to Utah Tech University and things that have been accomplished during 2022. So. First up, we added 3 new bachelor's degrees, 2 associate's degrees, several certificates, and maybe most importantly, 8 online baccalaureate degrees. There's a growing need for online baccalaureate degree programs for returning students and non-traditional students, so we're very excited about expanding into that space. We welcomed our largest student body ever last fall of 12,500 students. Our library was recognized recently by the federal government as a patent and trademark resource center. We are one of 2 patent and trademark resource centers in the state. The other is in Salt Lake. The next closest is in Las Vegas. This is an outgrowth of the exciting activity that's happening at Atwood Innovation Plaza with patents and trademarks. And the federal government was happy to recognize the library on our campus as a patent and trademark center. So what that allows citizens in the community to do is have access to resources if they're interested in applying for patents or trademarks. The university also hosted over 100 community events over the past year. We're anxious to engage with the community. We recently opened the Water Canyon Center in Hilldale. We have educational centers in Panguitch, Hilldale, Hurricane, and Kanab that all provide concurrent enrollment in college courses to high school students in those areas. And then last but not least, we recently concluded our partnership, our City Alliance partnership with St. George City, and have begun a City Alliance partnership with Santa Clara City. That City Alliance is something I've talked about here, where we partner with different municipalities to work on projects that are important to them and provide them with needed resources. So there's a lot of exciting things going on at the university, a lot of momentum and growth, and just appreciate the opportunity to spend time here with you, and I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Plus you're 550 bed unit?
We are. We're about to break ground on another 550 bed unit, I believe, Commissioner. Housing is a real challenge, not only in Washington County, but everywhere, and it's something that we continue to struggle with on campus. It's a soft cap on our enrollment. So we had recently built two new 500 plus bed units on our campus, and we were planning to wait at least another year, 18 months, before breaking ground on the third one, but we've decided to move forward, and the legislature's given us approval to move forward on that third unit immediately.
That's great.
Sorry, yeah. I know I'm not on the board, but just it's been a while since I've been updated last. How many patents and businesses have come out of the Atwood Innovation Center?
So I don't have those numbers with me handy, but it's well over 150 patents and I think nearing 100 businesses.
My son is one of them.
Excellent.
He brought in a patent for a lineman for a tower. I can't really explain it well.
I'm more confident in that number on patents. I believe it's over 150 that have been applied for. Businesses maybe closer to 50, but I'm not entirely certain on that number, but it's a significant number. And at Atwood Innovation Plaza, it's not just a plaza that's open for students, faculty, and staff, but community members are also able to come into Atwood Innovation Plaza and use the resources available there.
And he did it not as a student, he did it as a community member. And his patent, it took about maybe 7 months or a year to get it, but he has a patent also.
Excellent.
I say that's just a community member, not a student, so.
Excellent.
Henry, is there any updates on the Desert, you call it Desert Color, Southern campuses, anything since November changed on that? Are you making progress forward on that?
Yeah, no, thank you for the reminder on that, Gary. I think several months ago I shared an update on the Innovation Plaza, Innovation Campus and Desert Color property that is going to be built out on Exit 2, just right on the border with Arizona. We have put together several committees that are working to determine a master planning document for that property. We have 183 acres. A portion of that property will become an innovation district, which is like Atwood Innovation Plaza on steroids. The idea is to take businesses that have been incubated and are beginning to grow and spin out and are no longer able to fit in the confines of Atwood Innovation Plaza, give them space to grow at an innovation district where they can bump into other businesses and researchers and things along those lines. So we plan this summer to begin master planning that property. We have 110 acres on our main campus in downtown St. George, but we have only one or two building pads left, and the university will continue to grow as the community grows. So that new 183 acres will be really important to the university for the coming decades.
This is coming from my urban planning background. Is the university planning on any kind of a shuttle bus system separate from the city's bus system that you would cut down on the amount of parking you need or cars and that kind of stuff between the campuses?
There have been conversations about that. They're very preliminary at this point because it's going to take us several years to build out that campus, but there have been conversations about ensuring that there's some sort of shuttle system between the two campuses. It's about a 10 to 15 minute car drive between those two campuses.
Okay. Anything else?
Just, you know, I texted our reporter, got some feedback on that bill. Are you guys interested in hearing what she said?
Yes.
I'll read it if you like. She said it was Representative Tusher last year. He talked about doing something similar, but we were able to talk him out of it. But he has filed a bill this year. Last I heard he had filed it as a priority bill, but it did not have any language yet. But I think his idea is to make the recorders state employees under the state commission, tax commission. I think his issue is he wants some standards among recorders. As a group, we are trying to work with him to start a standards committee or something like that. If he continues to push the bill forward, I will be asking to meet with all your elected county officials and also our state representative to hopefully get everyone to support, everyone's support to stop the bill. Because we as recorders are the start of the taxing process, I don't think it would benefit the county to have all of us not part of the county.
Yeah.
I think that's true. She makes a good point.
There's a lot of control.
Yep.
An elected is always better than appointed.
Right.
Always.
My experience since being in this job is the legislature would like to do it with county commissioners and just run the whole state themselves.
Yeah, they complain about the federal government and they turn around and do the same to us. Okay, local affairs. We have two that I know of right now.
You have one right there.
Yeah, who's
the mayor?
Mayor, go ahead.
I sat down on a meeting this morning with Utah Rail Passengers Association. Preliminary talks and studies, and what they want to do is they want to implement a passenger service again. Amtrak used to run from Salt Lake or actually Denver to Las Vegas and Denver down to Sacramento, and then it was discontinued about 20 years ago with the Desert Wind. Their talk now is to go ahead and implement a high rail service from Ogden down to Moab and Ogden to Cedar City with a bus bridge from St. George to Cedar City to allow the larger population in this area in St. George to be able to utilize that service. It's in the preliminary studies. Governor Herbert was on the call this morning with this and he brought up a lot of interesting points, and so they're going to go back to the table and they've got to do a lot of studies because trying to put Amtrak back on that rail where it was normally at 79 miles an hour, they want up to 125 miles an hour. Well, I can tell you from experience working on the railroad for 32 years, it's not going to happen on the rail bed that they've got right now. So they've got a lot of work to do and it's going to cost a lot of money. The project itself, I think, is a great idea because once it gets into southern Utah, then they can expand it to a lot of the rural communities with bus bridges and bring everybody in where they come in and get on this train and get up to Salt Lake, or the talk is expanding to clear to Las Vegas and maybe going toward Reno and Boise later on down the road. So it's just in a preliminary phase now, so they're going to have some more meetings later on in the year. So the information comes out and I'll bring that back to the five counties. So,
Current infrastructure will handle those speeds?
Pardon?
The current infrastructure will handle those speeds?
No. And one of the biggest ones, say from Salt Lake to Cedar City, is when you, the Lund Siding coming up the branch to Cedar City. That's only up to Iron Springs, is 40 miles an hour. From Iron Springs into Cedar City is a 20 mile an hour track. And there's no safety systems, no signal systems in place. So basically, you're just going to have to gut that whole system and build a whole new rail system all the way from London to Cedar City. Then we can't go past the airport here in Cedar City because they've taken all the tracks out, you know, going up into town because of the traffic and the crossings and everything. So what they're talking about is setting up a, you know, turnaround service right there for buses and, you know, just take the train right into the airport, doing everything from there and try to adjust it accordingly where they can have flights out of Cedar City and stuff like that. There's a lot of work that's got to be done. I'd heard about it about 6-8 months ago and didn't think too much of it. And then they called just a couple of days ago and said, get on this Zoom call, so we did. But like Governor Herbert said, you know, one of the biggest factors is they was worried about the return rate on their money. And like the governor said, you can't worry about a return rate. We spend millions and millions of dollars every year on our highways to improve our infrastructure. You can't worry about a return rate because there is no return rate. When we get down to the rural counties with B&C funds, and that's how we're able to operate and keep some of these roads, you know, passable. So he says, you got to take that out of the equation right now. You're just going to have to spend money to make this work, provide the service, relieve the traffic on I-15 off the Wasatch Front. So there's a lot to be done, so it's going to be quite a few years, but the conversation has started, so we'll just see where it goes. So.
Okay, very good. And then this one, Brian?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Do you want to do it?
Go ahead.
General plan updates, just a report for the steering committee. On here it says we have met with most of the communities in five county area to complete community surveys based on their input and the dates of their most recent general plans, some of which are from the 1990s and early 2000s. We will focus on assisting five communities this year. That'll be Escalante, Panguitch, Minersville, Canaryville, and Paraguna. These are the pending the town council's approval, pending the town council's approval to move forward. So, Kevin?
That's with Kevin in our office. Yeah.
Okay. So are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Anything else?
I also have one thing. I had a phone call this morning, and I didn't have quite time for them to send me an email about it. But Katie Williams, who's the public involvement specialist with Horrox Engineers, she's working with the Broadband Council. They made a presentation here at the steering committee several meetings ago about the broadband plan that they're doing for the state, and she's asking for this body to make some kind of decision. Do they want to take this out to each county? The rural counties is where they're looking at, because that's where the need is to get the jobs there. They can work remotely for these companies like on the Wasatch Front, where the jobs are down here after your university trains them to do what they're doing, get their degrees or whatever. Wants to know if you would rather have that done on a regional basis, like have a meeting that we would sponsor, or they would be happy and they would love to come out to your counties and have a meeting scheduled in each of your individual counties. I kind of think that's where it should be, is because each county has unique differences that everybody coming together at one spot wouldn't be. And so how do you want me to respond? Do you want me to send her to each of you, your county commissions, and discuss that with your commissions?
I mean, yes, that's probably the best way to do it, but I feel like we have a lot of these meetings and it just doesn't really go anywhere. I feel like we have these same talks about broadband over and over and over again. Nothing's really changed, per se, about where we're at. If you feel that way, I mean, it's like the Great Salt Lake.
Well, this is
money.
Well, but this is they've been working on that since summer. You know, it's a 1-year planning process.
Well,
this is trying to actually implement it, whereas before it was, what do you have? This is actually to implement.
Well, then I'd say definitely come to counties then, because
yeah, I'll send them your way, and
I agree.
I'll send it to the clerks and to the commission. I'll get all your contact information and let them reach out directly to the counties. So. I just needed some guidance on what to do, so.
Okay.
When everything's said and done, there's always more said than done.
Yeah. It seems funny. It seems weird to me. It takes a long time to cover, I guess.
Yeah. To do nothing.
The way the Fed works is like, you have 20 kids waiting to get on the bus, and they're all freezing. The driver's not there yet. But the government owns 20 codes, and they want to study it.
Yeah.
5 died from exposure. Okay, well, that's good, because we have 5 extra codes now. It's just no.
Any other words of wisdom?
Gillisms.
He's the best at what he does.
Next month, the rotation of the chair will happen.
Oh, next time you're going to have a new chair. I'm going to be sitting in the background, and we'll have a new commissioner.
Fire, huh?
Yeah. I think. Let's see. I believe that's how it happened with me the first time around.
Yeah, and with me.
And it happened with you. Did either one of you?
I walked in the meeting at SCU and they said, "Your chair."
Okay. Was that meeting? Was you there on time, or did you?
The best part about being chair is that final item
down
there.
I see that.
We are adjourned.
There you go.
And it's early.
Yes. Good job, Commissioner.
Safe travels, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I like the idea of having a central located here.
Yeah. Thanks for lunch, too.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll have it next month, too.
Thanks for breakfast.